has stepped away, if there's any questions or not, feel free to bring them up, and I'll attempt to answer them.
And I'm back too, by the way, so yeah. Why don't you guys start off and ask your questions, and then we'll go on.
Is this going to be recorded also?
Yeah, I'm already starting to record it, so everything should be all set.
You're welcome.
So, does anyone have any questions before we start? You've obviously listened or participated last week in the chat. Do you have any questions that you would like to know and have answered before? I'm not sure how this will proceed, but, you know, feel free to ask your questions and we'll answer them to our best of our ability.
I can't wait to upload the map, the new map to 4.0 when that come out. And I've been in here last week for 2 hours, and I really enjoyed the whole full 2 hours. Really interesting.
Yeah, 4.0 is not just a small change from 3.5. We didn't just, you know, fix some problems in 3.5 and release it. If we would have done that, that would have been a 3.52 or a 3.55 or something like that. When we change major version numbers and go from a version 3 something to a version 4 something, or, you know, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 to 5, those are huge jumps for our program. And, you know, and we really believe that we made a huge jump in this latest release. Oh, and there's one of our beta testers that just popped in. Hey, Bob, how are you doing, buddy?
How's everything going? Is this new release is really great that shows all the cities in the area.
Bob, we could hardly hear you. It looked like you were talking at one end and your microphone was at the other.
Oh, yeah, I had my microphone up by my head so it wouldn't get in my coffee.
Well, kind of hard for us to hear you then. It sounded like you were drinking your coffee. So, Bob, why don't you tell these folks what your experience has been during the whole beta process of 4.0, and what are your thoughts on what these guys are going to be exposed to once they finally get their versions?
Okay, yeah, I've been really excited about the new software. It is, for example, much easier to look up addresses. Before, you had to know if I put in my own address, for example, which was 14237 Gaines Street in Arleta, or Los Angeles, California. I could put in the city, Los Angeles, and then the street, but then you got a number of different streets with different zip codes. Well, with the new software, you just put in the street number first, then you put in the name of the street, and then it lists all the possible streets, but it narrows it down to ones that have that number. So then you just pick your street and press enter, and boom, it comes up. The other thing I've noticed is it's incredibly more accurate when we're traveling around the country. In fact, I just got back from Iowa, and as you're driving along, if you're giving someone directions, it is when you get the signal to turn, the two beeps, then that's almost always right on. So I've just noticed a lot of accuracy. A lot of difference in the accuracy.
Yeah, we really tried to beef that section up in the software, and also make it easier to use. Now with the new Rich Map Engine by Dicarta, it's making routes so much more accurately, and better pedestrian routes now, better vehicle routes now. Easier to find an address now, and the new Rich Map Engine fixes some problems that they were having. It just, all in all, has been just a whirlwind of a plethora of new functionality and new features that have gone into this release.
Hey, Robert Sweetman, it's Jerry Hogan, number two here. How was the map when you're on the highway or the freeway? Going towards using the ramp, the on-ramp, the off-ramp, and crossing bridges and overpass, and going off-ramp and using the loop and stuff like that. What, can you comment on that?
That's improved a lot, and one thing that Charles added was a next turn feature, so that as you're going along and you've got you're coming to a next turn, when you get a lot, when you get the ramp and there's going to be a turn right after that, when you press T to show the turn, it shows instantly. It shows it reads off the ramp, and then it says then turn on Elm Street, for example. So you know, turn right on Elm Street. So you know where your turn's going to be, what your next turn will be. The other thing that's really major is the help commands now are all they're all active. So for example, when you do a control a read with H on the QT or a space with H on the BT systems, you get a menu that's broken down into where am I commands, GPS commands, space H, G, virtual command, space H, V, destination command, space H, D, points of interest command, space H, P, and if I press enter on that, point of interest commands, and press the space bar, find nearest points in all categories, it says space F, find points in all, find points in all or individual categories between a beginning and ending distance is space with F. So I'm if I'm looking at the help menu and I found the command I want to execute, I know in the future it's going to be space with F, but if I press enter right there from the help menu, it says okay, enter starting distance for the search. So the whole help process has actually been incorporated, so it's a live program at this point. And the other thing is you can get to the manual very quickly and the quick reference command very quickly just by pressing space with H or read with H and then S for Sendero reference, and then you've got a choice between the quick reference manual and or the whole manual. Press enter, boom, you're there. When you exit, you're out of it. The other thing that I really like is you no longer go to the program Sendero submenu first. When you press N at the menu, go to the main menu and press N, it takes you right into your program and you're ready to go. And if you're not connected, there's a really new feature that has been added. It makes it much easier to connect to your Bluetooth receiver. If you press backspace with R or maybe Charles, you can give me the command for the QT. It skips my mind right now, but it automatically reconnects to the GPS, and so it's getting connected. You can actually turn your system off, turn it on, and if you're still in the GPS program, press backspace with H, and you're in there. So that makes a huge difference in the ability to connect. There's a lot of features like that that have been added that make this a really incredible release for the product.
Yeah, I think on the QT it was control with R, but it's, you know, I'd have to look it up, and you know, and it tells you in the help, so you know, so it's very easy for you guys to find it out if you forget a command, as Robert was just saying. Actually, I wanted to tell you guys about a last second feature that actually got into the program, and this we already released to manufacturing. We released the product just before the summer shows. Well, while Mike was at one of the summer shows, one of the users said, "Well, you know what? In 3.5, they couldn't find my street. They could find my city, but then when I pressed enter on to give me all the streets for that city, it would come up blank. No streets in that city." And Mike's like, "Oh, well, that's interesting. Well, let's try it under 4.0. Well, lo and behold, the exact same thing happened for her street. She was from Laguna Woods in California. And so Mike calls me up, and I'm like, well, you know, I'm thinking, first I'm thinking, wow, I'm surprised that the beta team didn't find this. And then I was even, you know, surprised, well, why didn't she tell Sendero, you know, this, like, months ago when she couldn't find her street? you know, we could have done something about it way back then, and it could have been incorporated and would have been fixed, you know, at the release. Well, so anyway, I looked and found the problem. There was actually a city just before hers that had Laguna in the city name, but it had a dash between the city name and the next part of the city name, so Laguna-Fields or something like this. Well, that dash caused my program to mess up because I wasn't expecting that. And so I figured out what the problem was and fixed it, and it actually fixed like a whole bunch of cities, Laguna Hills, Laguna Woods, Laguna Beach. All of these couldn't get, wouldn't be able to be found any streets there. So I fixed that, you know, and had to re-release 4.0 back to manufacturing again, which took another week. So that's why we're still, you know, no one has gotten any product yet, because, you know, these things happen, and you know, we need to figure them out and fix them and make sure that the product's right before it goes out. Well, and in that process, because I made a change and I went, you know what would be kind of cool is instead of just looking for the word, if you typed in Laguna, you know, instead of just looking for Laguna at the beginning of all of these cities, wouldn't it be nice to be able to find cities that, you know, maybe ended in Laguna or had Laguna someplace else in the name? So I thought, well, let's put that in there. If the search string that you typed in was more than two characters long, then it'll behave just like a POI search, and it'll look for whatever you typed in anywhere in the city name. So all of a sudden now, when you type in Woods, let's say, instead of just getting one match in California, Woodside, now all of a sudden you're getting a whole bunch of woods, like Laguna Woods. So this is incredible, actually, because, and I didn't realize how big this was going to be until I gave it out to my beta testers this past week to play with and see what their reaction was. And I was floored at the response that just adding this one little feature that I thought, well, I'll just throw it in. Just, you know, I was hesitant to do it, but I said, well, since I have to look for the entire list anyway to make sure that this dash problem doesn't mess up searches, you know, I might as well add this little feature. Well, my gosh, the first response was from Richard in the UK. He says, oh my God, I can finally now type in Edinburgh and get two matches. One says Edinburgh area, and the other one was city of Edinburgh. He never had, you know, how would you know that you had to type in city first in order to find Edinburgh? And that had all of the streets of Edinburgh in it, and so he was just ecstatic that that now we have this new feature. And the same goes for a lot of other places, like in New York. Chris was telling me, oh my gosh, I can now type in Rochester, and I get the main Rochester area and stuff. He said there's like 10 Rochesters that comes up. He sees now East Rochester that he never knew there was, you know, that was a possibility. West Rochester, all of these different Rochesters. And now when you type in Rochester, it doesn't just look for cities beginning with this name. So that's another huge advantage to making address searching so much easier to use. So that was just thrown in this past week, guys. I kid you not. Just because of this one little issue that couldn't find the streets for that city, Laguna Woods, I just thought, well, I might as well throw this in and see what happens. And oh my gosh, has it ever been one of the cool new features that just got added in at like the 11th hour? Kid you not.
And with Los Angeles now with this new feature, if you do space S for city search, put in the state, CA for California, press enter, type in Los Angeles and press enter, you get 20 matches with just the different things in the Los Angeles area. So, for example, I'll get Burbank, Los Angeles, Calabasas area, Compton area, Downey, Norwalk area, East Los Angeles. And if I just want to get quickly to Los Angeles, I can press L, and there's Lake, and it quickly gets me down to Los Angeles area. And with four presses, I'm down to regular Los Angeles and press enter. And then that's where I can put in my number search. For example, on my street, I'd put 14237. press enter, type in gain, press enter, chose three matches, pick my gain street and press enter. And it's got, I no longer have to search through a whole bunch of zip codes, different streets with zip codes. It makes it incredibly easy to find addresses. And I tested this while we were traveling last week through Iowa and Minnesota, and it just worked very well.
So what do you guys think of that new little last-minute, last-second feature that we just threw in there before we just re-released it to New Zealand there on Thursday?
I like it. I think it's a great feature.
I'm going to love that, and that feature is going to really come in handy. And I have to go, so good night, and hopefully next week I can spend the whole hour in here. Take care.
See you, Jerry. So, does anyone have any questions there? That was my big news for this week. Does anyone want to for us to explain anything in more detail that you've seen, or you're not quite sure how it would work? We got Carl here, who's a great, he knows the product inside out, and Bob, and then myself, You got the three experts here that know 4.0 inside out and backwards, so fire away.
Jarvis, let me just bring up the subcategories in the POIs. I think the users are going to find that extremely useful. So all of your POIs now will be broken down to subcategories. For an example, if you want to search for a restaurant, you can search for a subcategory of Arby's or McDonald's or whatever that subcategory you want to select. Also, in the user POIs, when you save a user POI now, you can either set it to public or you can set it to a category. So when you're sending in your POI files now, only the public will be extracted out of your POI files.
Yeah, that's a great thing. And actually, that's exactly what I just did. I went through my points of interest that I've never sent to Sendero, actually. Too busy. But I went through them all, and I finally decided, well, I'll fix them up a little bit. And I went through, and even your old POIs, you can go in and edit your points of interest and from 3.5 or earlier, and give them subcategories now. And so I went through, and I had some, I went to Stanford University, and I marked some of the buildings there. So I set those subcategories as school. And then I went and recorded some points of interest at the Caltrain, major Caltrain station in San Francisco. And this is when I had WAS receiver that could actually detect your position inside the building, because it's all glass overhead. And I recorded each of the tracks, there's tracks 1 and 2, 3 and 4, up to 11 and 12. And I recorded each one of these spots inside the building. And so I recorded that and then, changed that to bus rail, its subcategory. And then there was a restaurant that I went to, Lulu's, in near Monterey, right on Fisherman's Wharf there. It has great clam chowder. So I went in there and I added a description field. I said, great seafood, great clam chowder in a bread bowl. I put that in my description part. And then I changed it a subcategory to restaurant. And so, I sent this in now. And so once Mike converts that, then it'll be in the user. It'll be in the user category, as far as when you do searches for points of interest. It'll be in the user public subcategory, but in its description field, there'll be a the name restaurant or bus rail or school appended onto the end of the description field, so that you know. Oh, okay. Well, that's what that is. If you just heard Lulu's, you'd be like, oh, I'm not quite sure what that is, but because you go to the description now, because I set it to that subcategory of restaurant, the name, quote, restaurant will be added on to the description, so you'll know that that's what that is, even though it's under the user category when you do a POI search. So anyway, that's one of the definitely one of the uses of how this whole thing is going to work.
One of the other features that I think is really neat is on your GPS type, you can, instead of saying GPS Bluetooth, And you can do this right from the help menu, which is really cool. So you don't have to worry about remembering all the commands. You can go down to GPS receiver type from the options menu. Actually, you do it from the options menu. So press O and then go down to GPS type and press R for GPS replay. And what that does is you can then start, it asks you when you do a space with Q, it asks you for a file name, and I believe it's read with Q on the QT. It asks you for a file name, and you give it a file name, and then anywhere you move, it records your position in that file. So you can be walking along with an O&M instructor, for example, and whenever you get to a street, well, it just tracks your route. So then when you want to look at the route later, you can actually have it play the route back to you, and it's at any point you can press like X for next intersection, and it shows the next intersection that was coming up. S for speed, it shows the speed you were going. Carl did one when he was in an airplane that was really neat, and Mike did one too, where it shows your altitude, 36,000 feet or whatever. So basically you're watching a replay of the actual route that you took.
Yeah, that was very, very cool. And actually, Carl even made an MP3 of it. And it's pretty neat to listen to it repeating your speed and your heading and, you know, it's finding points of interest underneath you. And, oh man, it's really cool. Actually, we're using that replay right now in order to test some GPS receivers. So we're actually making these replays of with one GPS receiver, excuse me, you'd walk down a route, maybe an hour long, going down like, you know, 5 or 6 streets, and then you would retrace that route backwards with a different receiver, you know, and you would make another trace file of that. So then I bring, then they send these files to me, and I look at them and say, okay, well, that receiver was really good. That one actually tracked right along this street. I see where you made your turn here onto Jones Street, and then I see you made a right turn onto First Street, and you went down there, and then you backtracked back down First, back to Jones, and then you made a left onto Jones, you know, and I can see that. And then I can look at the other receiver and see how the two, how accurate the two receivers are. And so this is helping us determine which receiver we are going to recommend to you guys moving forward, because new receivers are coming out with better battery life, more sensitivity. But if they're not as accurate, then, you know, we'll be able to tell this, you know, and figure out which is the best receiver by using these replay files. So it's really great that, you know, I don't have to go and do all the testing myself, that I can have you guys go out and test and send me the files back, and I can look at it at home here in my armchair and look and see exactly where you went. You know, I can bring up your map, put your map on my screen, and follow you as if you were walking, you know, and I can say, okay, well, that's where you turned around there, and, oh, wait a minute, that's kind of weird, it jumped a block, what the heck's going on here, you know, and it's like, oh, well, that's a receiver error there, it jumped, oh, and now it's going 50 miles an hour down south, and, oh, jumped right back to where you were, so that was a kind of a glitch right there, that it went off to La La Land for a while, and now it's backtracking you again, so, oh, maybe that receiver's not as good as we think it is. You know, so this is going to be a great tool for not only you guys, but for us as well, for evaluating receivers.
I have a question about 4.0. If memory serves, there's no longer the route reverse feature. And I can understand how in some cases you probably wouldn't want to reverse the route, because you're going back the other way could require some different routing. But if your route is exactly the same except in reverse, does that mean when you reach your destination, you then have to make a new route to get from your destination back to your point of origin?
That's a good question, and it's you're half correct. In vehicle routes, that's true. You would have to do that. You would have to, you know, set your origin back as the new, quote, new destination, and then recreate a new route to, you know, the other way, because, you know, we don't know if you went down one-way street the wrong way, like, you know, following the rules of the road, because it's a vehicle route, so we have to obey the rules of the road, and we can't just reverse it automatically on you. Maybe in the future we'll say, oh, you want to reverse the route? Okay, we'll recalculate you a new route in the reverse direction for you. We haven't implemented that yet. We'll do that in the future. But for pedestrian routes, it will. It'll reverse the route, no problem. And it, you know, so you don't have to worry about that in pedestrian routes or in manual routes. If you create a manual route, from point A to point B to your, like, from, let's say, your house to your corner store, and you drop your waypoints, then you can reverse that route, not a problem. And so it's only vehicle routes that we don't allow you to reverse it, but then, you know, it's easy enough just to recreate a new route in the other direction.
That's perfect.
Yeah, in fact, I just loaded a manual route that I made when I was in Iowa while we were hiking, and just R followed by R will reverse it, and now I'm looking at a point start here, which was at our near the car where we started, and I can just press K to go forward and look through the that's another thing you do if you're looking through a route, you can do on the Braille note a 2, 3, 5, 6 to go forward through the route, and it's the same if you're following a GPS route, a vehicle route, or a regular route. So if I do a low G right now, it moves me up to my next route. Or with the Braille note, it's with the QT, it's a control up arrow. And what's really neat is these commands are now the same for the you use the same route following commands whether you're following, say, a manual route or one that you prepared, a vehicle route or a pedestrian route, and so they're kind of work the same as exploring forward in virtual mode, for example, when you do low G to go forward or a controlled up arrow to go forward with the QT.
Yeah, and it's also the same commands in GPS mode versus virtual mode. So that's a great thing. Hey, Denise.
Hello?
So, Denise, do you have any questions about 4.0 that we can answer for you? I trust you. You listened to our MP3 of the WAV file of last week's discussion, and you're all set to ask questions in this chat, right?
I'm waiting for my boss to buy it, but I am going to go and listen to everything. I'm waiting for him to buy it, Michael Elliott, to buy it, the software for 4.0. I'm excited about it. And they're going to get me one for my PK, and I'm waiting to get my PK back, and then they're going to get me one for my Empower.
All right, that a girl.
That.
I'll throw out one other thing in the area of routes and route creations. And your routes you have saved from the previous versions, you're able to use that in 4.0. You will have to recalculate the route, but that's very simple. So you can just load the old route that was created in another version and just recalculate the route, and you're off and running. So there's a lot of compatibility to these functions.
Daryl, at the NFB convention.
Were you able to see it, Denise, at that convention?
They were at a booth, but I didn't get a chance to see how it worked. I went to the booth and asked somebody, are they going to have a limo ride to take us like they did with CSUN? And the person said he didn't know.
Yeah, we didn't have that. That's usually a CSUN thing. It takes a lot of preparation, and because those two conferences are at the same time and Mike's sort of split between the two, organizing something like that is kind of difficult. So we'll probably be doing it again, at next CSUN. But, we wanted to get 4.0 out now, then you guys having to wait another year before next CSUN. So I think that this is going to be an incredible release for us. It went through a vigorous beta test cycle, and my gosh, I think we found over, well, new features and bug fixes and requests and stuff like that. Just during the beta cycle alone, I think over 400 bugs. It was just incredible, 300-400 bugs, and of that, I think we fixed over half of those, if not more.
Just to kind of show how much went into this. I think Charles, even after the beta cycle started, he did like 36 revisions of the program, and followed by 8 release candidates before this final version came out. And just for fun, I was just looking through a route where we walked in the woods a couple nights ago, and I was remembering where I took a picture at a fork in a pond, and it said to turn right heading south. And I look at it with, you can give the command I, gives you destination from your current position to your virtual position, which was, my virtual position is now 1,461.79 miles behind and east of here. So that's kind of fun to be able to bring up your old routes from wherever you were and retrace them.
So I think, we're starting to get our ducks all lined up, and I think we really are going to be shooting for a July 16th release date that the product will start shipping right around the 15th or 16th of July. We did have a week delay in the software because of this last minute bug / feature that got put in, and so that's why we never really say we're done yet. Because you never know. Something could even happen tomorrow that we get someone tries something that really messes things up and causes the system to crash, and then we would have to postpone the release again and create another another fix and stuff. But hopefully, touch wood, that doesn't happen. This is why we could have said, yeah, it's going to be released July 1st and right for the shows and start shipping July 1st. But if we would have done that, and then we would have, had to start, recalling and sending out, fixes to everyone, and a lot of extra overhead and pain and anguish for our tech support staff and our, people that have to send this out. So that's why we decided just to wait a little bit, make sure that we got all the DVDs burnt for the maps for new users that are getting new maps sent to them. Most of you guys that are already have 3.5 and just upgrading to 4.0, you'll just, once you purchase it, you'll get your software in email, and then they'll set you up on the SQL website, our website database, and transfer you from the 2006 maps to the 2007 maps with the new points of interest, and boom, you'll be all set and ready to go and start downloading, and you'll be you'll be there within minutes. So that'll be really exciting when we start actually sending out all of those emails to people that have SMAs and people that have pre-ordered 4.0. I know that there's a lengthy queue starting to fill up right now to get all of these new serialized versions of 4.0, so really exciting in the next week to start getting those suckers out.
This is Denise. If my mailbox was full, so some of my emails that your website have been sending me about the GPS, they probably bounced back to you because my mailbox is full. I've been on the road, I don't know how many weeks at a time, and I just cleaned up my mailbox last night. Well, I want to know, do I have to go and resubscribe to the website again?
No. You'll just start getting them as, no problem. It'll just start. I don't think that we've unsubscribed you. If you don't start getting messages from our users list within the next next week, then send a message, and add your email back. But I think you'll start getting messages. The list hasn't been too active lately, but I'm sure that's going to change once 4.0 gets into the hands of the end users for sure. So, any other questions that you guys have that want to know about in 4.0, or even ask us why we didn't put something into 4.0? I'm, willing to entertain any of these type of questions as well.
On a 1 gigabyte SD card, is that going to be big enough for, I'll say, a couple of maps plus all the software for 4.0?
Yeah, it depends on the maps, obviously. Like if you picked California that has 4 maps and 8 points, PPI files and all that stuff, you know, you'd be hard pressed to put that on, you know, a couple of those big states. But a couple small states, for sure, you can get that on there. A lot of people have a 1 gig card with, you know, a couple small states on, so shouldn't be a problem.
I have three states on a 1 gig card. I have California, Florida, and New York.
Wow, on 1 gig? Wow, that's cool. I really don't know the numbers off the top of my head. I just, you know, I have a big, huge 8 gig card, and I just cram as whatever I can onto it. So, but that, there you go. There's your answer.
One thing about the 8 gigabyte cards, those have recently dropped a lot in price. So, for example, you can get from Sendero Group a whole 8 gigabyte card for $150 with the maps already loaded for the whole country, and you only make you know, the maps active that you're going to be using at any given time. But you and I think, if I'm not wrong, and Charles could correct me on that, but I think it takes 7 gigabytes, and you'd still have a gigabyte free for books and other things that you want to put on your card. But it does give you the choice of putting as much as you want. I have a lot of other stuff on mine, so I'll put on my maybe 5 or 10 states at once, but it gives you the option of having the whole country on one card if you want.
Yeah, and that's always been our strength, is that we, you know, we could create a route right cross country, boy. You know, from New York right to or Maine right to California. So, you know, and that's definitely one feature that no other GPS accessible GPS product can claim. So that's something that we're pretty proud of. And you know, but you know, again, not too many people would ever need that. Most people, you know, and it's kind of a little bit slower because it has all of those maps open at once. So it's actually more in your best interest to just load the few maps that you want, so that going in and out of the program is real quick. And, you know, why have to load up all these maps of the country every time you go in when you don't have to? So, Jim, you've been pretty quiet. What's up?
Well, you weren't here, Charles. And, yeah, Bob, my... my voice note Empower went final back to Humanware. They probably should get it tomorrow, and they are going to replace it. So anyway, when they're done with it and put a new one in and send it to Sendero to do the 4.0, then I get to play with it and get all the rust spots and start learning how to do it over. But no, I'm very excited. I think one of my main questions that I think that without knowing too much about the 4.0, because I held off till I actually get my voice note back, but how close is Sendero going to be with the other GPS product? I know my brother that had the site, he bought a nice GPS for $180, and his voice command was awesome. I mean, it told him the name of the street, how far he is, and just a regular off-the-shelf GPS. The only problem is, of course, it's not accessible for me, but I thought, oh my goodness, how close are we going to be having our product accessible at the same as the sighted world, other than without the visual display?
Well, the thing is, those products are geared towards drivers that need voice output while they're driving. Okay, that's their market. And they finally figured out that, you know, drivers just don't want to hear turn left, turn right. They want to know, what street am I going to be turning left and turning right onto? And so a lot of these companies are figuring out they have to put text-to-speech so that they can grab the text from the map of the street names and speak this to the user. The Garmin Nuvi has done this. I actually own a Garmin Nuvi, the 350, and it has an amazing text-to-speech. I believe it's Eloquence, and they have like different. They have British and Australian voices there. They have the U.S. obviously, a male and female number of them, different. You know, so they're really finally starting to see, wow, we really need to put this in, because that's just something that the mass market wants. The problem is, everything, you know, is all GUI-centric, and as far as the menus and everything, they don't talk. It's all, you know, it's all visual. And the buttons, they're putting a lot of this now on touch screens that you can, you know, zoom in and zoom out with, like, the new iPhone and stuff, where you can move your fingers and it'll zoom into a spot, or you can move them the other way and it zooms out, you know, and being able to click, touch the screen where you want to find out more information. So this is all like a complete visual type interface. So their market is not for the blind, and you know, they'll put in some blindness quote features like the speech, and they'll probably be even put in once the voice recognition stuff gets up to par, voice commands, you know. But you know, once HumanWare puts in voice commands into their product, if that happens, I'm just thinking hypothetically here and wishful thinking right now, but, you know, if they put in stuff like that where you could say book reader or calculator, you'll be able to say navigation, you know, and maybe we'll be able to say, you know, intersection, and it'll tell you the intersection instead of typing a key. It'll be great, you know, but this is all stuff in the future. That's where I see it going. You know, so I think we're on the right track, and you know, we are doing an amazing job in this field. And there's only one of me, and they have, you know, tens of engineers, if not, you know, dozens of engineers working on these products. And you know, for Sendero, it's me.
Well, you know, I agree with you, and we all appreciate what Sendero put into it, And pedestrian, it's great advantage, and you can do far more there than the visual people, sighted people can do. But the thing that sometime when you're in other vehicle, it is nice to know you communicate with the sighted, hey, that go to the name of the street. They may be able to see it, and we don't, but we know that street is coming up. That's very helpful. So that, I think that's where I'm getting at, that you look at and see what the sighted have out there that would we would also benefit too if it can be done.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm always looking to find features or things that they do better than we do. I already know of a few that they do better than we do, even in 4.0. And I'm like, okay, well, this is definitely an area for improvement for our software. And the next version will start to try to address some of these things. Absolutely. We're always, you know, that's why I have a Garmin Nuvi. And, you know, that's why Mike has the Wayfinder access on his phone. And that's why I had, you know, the Street Pilot before that. It's to look at these and see where we think we're better than them, what things they do better than us, where we can improve our product to do better. So, yeah, absolutely. We're constantly looking at this and evaluating new technology as it comes out and trying to make ours the best GPS product for the blind around.
Where Sendero has really... I think shined is for example when most of the systems that sighted people would use don't have, for example, a command that says, or a lot of them don't have a command that says, what's the next intersection, what's around me if I do, because they figure you can see the signs if you do a read with F or a space bar with F, you can look around and find all the points that you're passing and scroll down through those points, get a P, space with P or read with P, and instantly you've got the address and the phone number of that place. You can call them before you walk over there. R followed by P or V will give you a pedestrian or vehicle route. So those features are really blindness-friendly features that no one else that I've seen has, and I use it all the time. For example, on vacation, I help my wife navigate and find new restaurants and whatnot. So it makes you very much more a part of traveling, and you can actually be a great help in traveling, as opposed to being sort of a passive traveler. That's where the GPS really has made a difference in the way I do things.
GPS that Charles was using in the hotel not this past season, but season before last, and it was telling them what was near, what room was by, and everything. Remember that? And he said he had like $3,000 worth of equipment on him.
Oh yeah, that's our indoor navigation system, and we're we have a grant to do some indoor navigation, and we're partnered up with Talking Lights company. And so I had an inertial guidance system on me and a light sensor that could detect these specialized lights. We're still working on that. So that's, another thing that we're doing in the background is indoor navigation. So, not only are we, doing the outdoor navigation stuff, we're also exploring how we can bring this indoors for you guys. And still use the same platform, your same GPS, same Braille note platform with your Braille output and your voice output, things that are, absolutely needed by blind folks, to have it accessible and running on a product like that is just, will be incredible once we, get past this, grant stage and see where we can bring this, if there's a possibility of bringing it to a commercial market.
Though I enjoyed that. Well, I'm going to hang up now because I have to get ready for work tomorrow. And I just like to say hello and hi, everybody, and have a good night and have a good week.
Thanks, Denise. So anything else before we wrap up here, folks? I have to get moving here, too. I have two hungry girls here that need to be fed to get supper going. But be willing to answer any last minute question here if you have anything.
No, I think I'm all set and just looking forward to getting 4.0, and I thank you very much.
Well, thanks, Charles, for your time and effort and away from your family coming on here just about every Sunday to give us the, I think this is the first time it's been very quiet in the background. But anyway, we appreciate all the staff have done for us.
Thanks, Jim. That's really kind of you to say.
Well, I need to be dropping off now because our Chinese dinner just came, I'll be in touch again next week.
Now the big question is, Bob, did you get that phone number from the GPS, the Braille note, or not?
Of course he did, Charles.
Well, actually, I got to confess on this one. Sue got it off the coupon that came in the mail, and she called while I was talking on the session. So there's still plenty of stuff that she can do.
You mean you, she's still useful, eh? Well, that's great. Bless her heart. Tell her I said hi.
Hey, give her credit to use the good old coupon method. That beats anything.
Sue says hi, too.
All right, good deal, guys. Well, I think I'm going to take off here, too. Anyway, have a great week, guys, and I hope that you guys start get 4.0 hopefully by the end of this week. That'll be kind of cool. Be really excited to hear what your reactions are out there. So anyway, you guys all take care.
You too, and please give those little gals a hug from me.
I'll be sure to do that. Thanks, Elaine.
Good night, all, and have a good week.
You too, Charles. You all have a good one, too. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.